Roundhouse Media.
Will you say something, Stephen?
Say, kids, what time is it?
What time is it? Is that what you're asking me? You're asking me what time is it? Well, it's time for another Just Another Fanboy classic episode. Today we travel back in time 17 years, 2 months, and 28 days to Saturday, May the 26th, 2007. And that's so we can listen to episode number 39 of Just Another Fanboy Volume 1. This time around, Karen and I navigate through a week filled with delays and unexpected challenges. From lost microphone cords to nostalgic television show finales, this episode is a roller coaster of emotions and laughs. Throughout the course of the episode, we discuss the intricacies of podcast recording, share personal anecdotes, and dive into the latest in comic book news, well, from 17 years ago. But that's not all, folks. You also get to hear 2007 me discuss plans for the future of the show, as well as Karen's thoughts on the whole Rosie O'Donnell thing that was going on with The View back then 17 years ago. What else do you want me to say, folks? Hang on to your hats. Enjoy.
You're listening to Just Another Fanboy, the podcast with more delays than Civil War and All-Star Batman and Robin put together. Just Another Fanboy is a Lynx Broadcasting production and a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane! It's Superman!
There it is!
I apologize for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book! Just like a comic book!
Welcome to episode number 39 of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, Steven.
And I'm Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
We had a rough time getting this one out.
Yeah.
For those of you who are a little curious why this is being released a day or so later than normal.
A few reasons, though.
Well, there were a couple. Originally, we normally record on Tuesdays.
And I didn't want to.
Well,
I didn't.
You were going to go out with your sisters on Wednesday. Well, we had decided that this week we were going to start recording on Wednesdays.
Right.
But you were going to go out with your sisters on Wednesday because one of them is going back to Costa Rica.
Right. One of them lives in Costa Rica. And she's been back visiting, and we wanted to get together, us gals and our mom, for a fun day before she went back. And we were going to do that on Wednesday, so then we decided to do our show on Tuesday. And I just didn't really feel like it.
Yeah, I don't think.
I thought, of course, that the season finale of Boston Legal was going to be on, and it wasn't.
Not till next week.
And so then I wasn't here on Wednesday.
Well, and I still thought, you know, I'm sitting at the computer getting the show notes ready, assuming that we're still going to record. And yeah. I think at one point I kind of realized to myself, we're not going to get started, especially when I turned around to say something to you and realized you had fallen asleep on the couch.
Oh, I had?
Yeah.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. You say so.
But that might have been. I don't know. This has been a weird week.
It just has been. It's just.
And then, of course, Wednesday you went out, and then Thursday. Got it all ready to go, ready to roll.
Yeah.
Couldn't find the mic cord.
Nope.
I was angry.
You were.
I was tearing the house apart.
Yeah. And I just laid on the couch because I didn't feel good anyway. I have to be honest. I just was like praying, oh God, please don't let him find it. Please don't let him find it.
Well,
please don't let him find it. Because I was just nauseous all day. And I just wanted to throw up. I didn't feel like talking. So.
And. Of course, they always say, you know, I
thank you, God.
You had made it your mission today to find it.
You
had told me last night, I will make it my mission to find the microphone cable
today.
It's because
I am the finder of lost things.
You are the finder.
I am the queen of that. I really am good at that. And so I knew if I put my mind to it, but I was out of whack all day. I just too much going on in the world, and the weather's funky, and so.
Well,
I didn't give it my all.
Yeah. And I came home tonight and
I just assumed you'd pick up another one.
Oh no, somewhere. We can't afford that. I wouldn't know where to pick one of these up. I don't know. I'm sure they're at least $20.
Oh, well, that's expensive for us. So yeah.
For us, that's expensive. But,
yeah, it is.
You know, they always say when you're trying to find something, you finally find it, you find it in a weird spot. What? Well, it's always the last place you look, which is just the dumbest expression ever.
Just get over it.
Because even if it's the first place you look, technically it's an S. It's not like you find it and then you keep looking.
Right. But so technically the phrase should be, it's always in the last place you think of looking.
Yeah. And
okay,
it was,
but that's what it means. So ease up on your anger about the phrase. I've heard it since I've known you.
Well,
gosh, it's just a saying, baby.
But in this case, it was in the one place I didn't look.
And I didn't look either.
On top of the shelf.
On top of the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, because normally
we were looking in weird places because we thought the kids had it.
Because normally when we finish recording every night, I get everything put back together. I get them
every week,
Yeah, every week. And I roll the cord up and I put the cord and the headphones and the mic way up on top of this big thing we have in the corner of our.
It's called a hutch.
A hutch. Like a Starsky.
Spit my Coke out all over you.
Last week, I neglected to do that. I just set it behind the computer and the kids were just playing with all the stuff. And I just assumed after last night, I just gave up looking. And
you thought it was in a landfill.
Yeah, I thought one of the kids just put it in the trash can.
Yeah, because they do that sometimes, but I would have seen it.
But hey, we found it. And so we're recording.
You found it. So here we is.
So here we go.
Yay. Yay.
I got a few announcements before we kick into this week's show.
Okay.
First of all, I want to remind everybody, episode 40 is coming up next week. Just a few days, really, since we're recording this kind of late. But we talked last week about talking about personality quirks. And so far from last week's episode, we have gotten exactly none. Nobody submitted anything.
Well, that's their quirk then.
That's their quirk. We don't like to submit stuff. So maybe, I don't know, if we don't get any, if we only get one or two, then we'll delay it maybe to episode 45
or
something.
Yeah, people have them. They just need time to think about it.
They're just afraid. They don't want to air their dirty laundry.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I also want to talk about the being part of the show few episodes or so back. I talked about how the show will eventually evolve into maybe two episodes a week.
Righto.
One which will be the two of us, and then a second episode during the week will be me and a special guest host via Skype.
Yes.
And I've gotten a few responses from members on the board with ideas, and I've liked every idea so far. I haven't really responded to anybody yet. And that's not because I think you have a bad idea. It's just that I don't have the recording program yet for Skype.
Oh, okay.
So once I get that and get it tested, it may be a few more episodes before we can actually start doing that.
But at least you'll have your lineup ready to go a few weeks ahead of time.
Exactly.
And that's a good idea.
And one other idea I had, one other episode, once a month, I'm going to do a special. So basically, okay. What we'll have is our regular episodes every week.
Yes.
And then a special episode every week. So two episodes a week, right?
Yes, right.
But
right. Where are you going?
Once a month, instead of that second episode a week being me and a special guest host, I'm going to throw something in that I'm going to call the main event. Because right now, anybody who... shutties.
Oh, hey.
Sorry.
Okay.
Right.
Jeez. You don't talk to me like that, man.
Been watching too much King of Queens.
Exactly.
Apparently.
And I love that show, but I hate that character.
Yeah.
What a numbskull. What a child. Anyway, don't get me started. I had a day.
Tentatively, it'll be called the main event. Anybody who's been reading books from the big two in the last 3 years know that the big two being DC and Marvel.
Oh, of course.
They are going from event to event. You know, Civil War, Planet Hulk, World War Hulk, Infinite Crisis, you know, just going, 52. Now we're into Countdown. So once a month, I'm going to do my main event because right now I'm reading Countdown and I'm reading.
Okay, but what is main event? What is it?
I am going to talk about those books that came out that month that are part of a big event.
Okay.
Right now, it's just going to be Countdown and World War Hulk. But after, because Countdown goes into the next big DC event, which will lead into probably another big DC event. And so we'll have episodes forever. So
I'm getting all excited.
And, I could have guest hosts for those as well.
Sure could.
So
have a little chit chat session with somebody.
There you have it.
There she blows.
Okay. I also wanted to make mention. one of our listeners who posts over at the board by the name of New Mutant.
Yeah.
Had posted a thread over at the board, cgspodcast.com/forum2, just basically saying, hey, you should check this out. You might like it. And it was an audio drama. It's like there's three episodes out about a superhero by the name of Feedback. And the website address is brokenc.com/feedback/feedback.htm. And I listened to them and I enjoyed them. I haven't said any, I meant to say something about this weeks ago and I just completely forgot. And I decided I'd go ahead and make mention of it tonight on the episode. And I went to the website so I could get the URL down. And then I start to realize, wait a minute, the name Feedback sounds a little bit familiar. And then I thought of a free comic book I got through Free Comic Book Day.
Oh.
It's the Who Wants to Be a Superhero Free Comic Book Day featuring Feedback. Now, there was a show, you're probably not aware of it, hun. You may be. Yeah, the Who Wants to Be a Superhero that was on the Sci-Fi Channel, hosted by Stan Lee, who created Spider-Man.
How long ago was this?
This wasn't too...
We haven't had cable in ages.
No, this wasn't too awful long ago. Okay. So, but the purpose of the show...
If you hadn't seen it.
Exactly.
Okay.
The purpose of the show... It was a reality show.
Fancy new lighter.
Yes, my fancy Sin City Zippo. Yeah.
Oh, you are so cool.
But the Who Wants to Be a Superhero was a reality game show where people invented their own superhero. They created their own costumes. I never watched it because we don't have cable. And, you know, they had to do these little contests and whoever won got to be this official superhero.
With Stanley doing it?
Stanley hosted it. Yeah.
Cool.
And the winner, I'm not sure what exactly all they won, but one of the things that they would win would be a comic book by Dark Horse Comics.
Awesome.
And the winner was this guy, Feedback. And so I'm like, wait a minute, that looks really familiar. And so as I'm going to the website, ba-boom, there he is. It's the same guy.
Oh.
Created by, let's see, where is it? They're going to kick me for not having
kick
this off
you.
The top of my head. Dang it, I just created by Matthew Atherton and Sarah Blevins. And that's this. It's the audio drama, and I have to ask Mr. New Mutant, how are you involved in this? Are you Feedback? Is Feedback listening to our show? Maybe, maybe not. He could be a producer. He could be an engineer of the audio drama. I don't know. I just want to know.
Maybe
how
he
Mr.
just came across it online.
Maybe he did.
Why are you making something so big out of it?
Because it could be a big thing.
Okay, and that is always cool. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I listened to right now. There's only three episodes.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Right now, there's only three episodes up. Right now, there's only three episodes up of the Feedback audio drama. But it's done very well. One episode even features, and I can't even think of the guy's name. He's the co-host of Fanboy Radio. Oliver, I think his name is.
Okay.
And I was listening to the episode. I think it's episode 2 or 3. And I thought, this guy sounds really familiar. And then they went through the credits at the end, and I thought, that's the guy from Fanboy Radio. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, so yes, I'm enjoying it. Check it out. brokenc.com/feedback/feedback.htm.
Ta-da!
Right. Very okay. Nice.
Very nice. That's a very nice.
So Simon has been receiving in the mail letters from DC superheroes.
Yes, he has. It's been really cool.
And basically, my dad, who is a letter carrier, works for the post office.
Means he's a mailman.
He's a mailman. We can say that because he delivers the mail and he's a man.
That's right.
But when the DC released their DC stamps, he thought it would be fun. He bought the book of stamps and he thought it would be fun to send a letter to Simon. And I think his original plan was every day Simon would get a letter in the mail with a different DC hero as a stamp. And it would be written... By that superhero.
It's been really cool. Wish I should go get
and
a couple.
Go get a couple.
Okay, I'll be right back.
But he's gotten Superman. He's gotten Plastic Man. He's gotten Green Arrow. I think he's gotten a Flash and an Aquaman. And my dad actually writes these little letters. I mean, they're not, you know, 30-page letters. They're just like a little piece of paper that he's scrawled a little quick little note on. But Simon looks forward to them every single day. I come home with the mail and the first word out of his mouth is, you got a letter he thinks, because, you know, so far every hero that he's gotten, let's see, Green Lantern, Superman. Oh, there's a ton of them here.
I'll get them in order.
But Simon, who loves the Justice League, because he watches the Justice League cartoons, he thinks he's getting letters from the Justice League. The only drawback, however, is that he's expecting letters from superheroes that they didn't make stamps of. He's waiting for his Martian Manhunter letter. They didn't make a Martian Manhunter stamp, as far as I know. He's waiting, and most especially, for his Hawkgirl letter.
Yeah.
And they didn't make a Hawkgirl stamp. They made a Hawkman stamp. And yeah. I've tried to explain to him that maybe Hawkman and Hawkgirl will send a letter.
Together. Just using Hawkman stamp. Okay, so... Why did he put an additional 2-cent stamp on those?
Because after he got these stamps.
Like, has it gone up again?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So now they're 39, 40, 41 cents.
Mercy.
Yeah. And because he wanted to get them out.
I won't give my age away by saying how much stamps were when I was like even in high school.
Because originally he tried to get them sent out before the price went up, but. He couldn't get them out, but we've got Aquaman, Supergirl, Plastic Man, Flash, Green Arrow, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern, and another Superman. Did he get two? Just one Superman. But each one of these heroes, there's two stamps for each one. So eventually he's going to get another Superman and another Wonder Woman.
Enjoys this so much.
Yeah.
They're addressed like.
Yeah. The one from Hawkman is addressed to Super Duper Simon. The one from Supergirl is addressed Simon, my main man. Or the one from Plastic Man, Simon Stretch. Flash, Simon and Friends. Yeah. He didn't get. The one from Batman, Simon Gadzooks. Yeah. And Super Simon and Ryman Simon from Wonder Woman. And my dad actually takes the time. I'll just read one letter. This is from Wonder Woman. He takes the time to write these little letters. Hi, Simon. This is Wonder Woman. Do you think Rana or Palin will grow up to be Wonder Women? Be a good boy or I will have to lasso you with my rope. Wonder Woman. Okay. He loves these.
He does. And then he said, I have to ask them. And then didn't he? He asked Rana then.
Yes.
So I have to ask Rana, are you a wonder? What did he say?
I don't remember.
So, are you wonderful? And he had to ask Payla. I have to ask them because, yeah.
Well, and then we're collecting all the envelopes. Yes, and we've opened them in such a way that the stamps will not be damaged.
Very carefully.
Because eventually my father wants to scan the corners off and put together like a framed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's done that before with my dad's a bird watcher. Mm-hmm. And he's had a couple of friends send him letters with bird stamps, and he's had a couple of those scanned and blown up. So, because then you get the stamp and you get the meter that shows, you know, Kansas City,
right?
Blah, 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 blah. So that's kind of fun.
Kansas City. Yeah. It's been fun.
Speaking of Simon.
Yeah.
So this is last week of preschool.
Yeah. His last day was Wednesday.
Our boy's growing up.
He is. He'll have a month of summer school, though. He qualifies for, they don't call it summer school anymore. They call it extended school.
Yeah.
But it'll be like a week and a half off, and then sometime in early June. I haven't gotten any information about that, so I'm going to have to touch base with somebody. Anyway, then he'll go for a month, and then he'll be home the rest of the summer before he starts kindergarten.
He's so excited about that.
He's already, which is great.
He's gone and met his new teacher.
Yeah,
I took
him in for a visit last Friday.
I was just sitting down with him the other night. The day he went to visit his new school, I was sitting down with him in bed that night, and we were talking about his new kindergarten. And I told him how he's going to learn so much more because he's ready. I mean, he's learned all he's going to learn in preschool. He's not learning.
Oh, yeah. It's been 2 years of the same thing. And it's been hugely beneficial.
And he already, to a certain extent, he can read very basic sentences.
Oh, yeah.
But I was explaining to him how much he's going to be learning in this new school and how he's going to learn to read and to write. And
which he already does.
But just not fluently.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I told him how. Pretty soon, during story time, which we do every night before bed, he's going to be reading one of the books.
He's going to be doing the reading.
And then I said, and it's not going to be long after that before you're going to be reading Daddy's comic books.
Yeah.
And he just looked up at me and he just went, cool. So.
He's a sweetie petite.
And, you know, once he starts reading those comic books, he's going to start being on the show.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, my goodness, you like flicking that bit for sure.
I think it'll be a nice little segment, you know.
Simon's
comic book picks of the weeks or whatever.
Awesome.
So, gas prices.
Yeah.
What was it last week? $3.20 a gallon.
I don't know. I never get out of the house.
This week is up to $3.30. $3.30 a gallon.
One of the morning shows or something did, there was a, you know, a poll. Is that what you call it when people are, I guess, and the average, they wanted to find out at what point will people say, I'm not going to buy your gas. How high does it have to get before people say, I'll figure out something else. I refuse. I cannot afford to spend this much or more on gas. And the average, it came out to be $4.16. At that point, that's people, crazy. Yeah. At that point, people would say,
well,
more. But that's the average. Here, so of course, some people said $3.75 and some people said $4.25. And that was about.
Well, here's the thing that always, here's the thing that always kind of angers me about it is when they get on the news and they're talking about the high price of gas and blah, blah, blah. They always, you know, here's some tips for you to save on gas. And they're always try riding the bus to work or maybe ride your bike. Well, yeah, I can't do that.
That's not. No, geographically, that doesn't work for everybody.
I live over
everybody 20, who lives in America.
Yeah, if you live in the city,
do that.
Great idea.
Please.
There's no bus routes out here where
No. It's just, you know, not I could like drive everywhere.
I could drive the 20 minutes into town, park the car, get on the bus, and ride for 5 minutes to work.
Do that.
No.
You're funny.
And speaking of people, as you were saying, you know, what point does it?
Yeah. At what point do you say, forget it?
New Mutant posted a link over at the board that to an article that he thought I might find interesting. So I thought I'd share a little bit of it here. This comes from, it was on Yahoo News.
Yahoo.
The headline is Wisconsin gas station shuts pumps over prices. And I'll just read you the first couple paragraphs here. It's in Mequon, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, Wisconsin. Motorists pulled into Harvey Pollock's gas station Thursday, honked, and gave him a thumbs up because he wasn't selling any fuel. The owner of Town Market Mobile in this suburb north of Milwaukee shut down his pumps for 24 hours, hoping to start a movement aimed at persuading oil companies to lower their prices. And he's got a little quote in here that says, somebody out there is making money at these prices, but not me. So I just thought, what can I do to help the consumer?
On what day was that?
Let's see.
See if you can find a date, because
this was posted on Friday the 25th. So okay. It'd be Thursday.
Because I got a couple of different emails over the last couple of weeks that's, you know, that get forwarded and forwarded and forwarded. Yeah. And you never know.
Every time the gas prices start to come up, you always
nobody
get one of those
buy
emails.
Gas yeah.
on this day,
on May the 16th or the 15th or something. And I'm like,
if everybody in America didn't buy gas during this one day, the oil companies would shut down.
It. I mean, and so it's like, well, if I knew it was for real, then yeah. But how do you know?
Well, I filled up nobody tonight, else is gonna do it. So let's do that tomorrow.
Everybody tomorrow, nobody
now
buy gas.
Now I've got gas in my car. Let's do that tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, something's gonna happen. But oh well.
So
just keep taking it and taking it and taking it
until I can afford that hybrid.
Oh, I wish.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
I'm just, this is a good kick in the pants to get that darn hydrogen car out there.
Yeah.
But, and I've done a little research on the hydrogen car because I recently, a year or so ago, took a writing class, not a writing class, an English, a college English class. And we had to write a paper, and I wrote my paper on, is the hydrogen car really the car of the future? And I did a little research. I don't remember most of it, but I do believe I remember reading somewhere at this point, it's the money that is going to have to go into actually producing these stations and producing the hydrogen. It's not going to save us money right up front, but I think in the long run, it's better for the environment, obviously. And, but then again, the cheapest way, I guess, to convert whatever it is into hydrogen to use for your car, it's still, these will put emissions into the air just to make the high.
Yeah, weren't we just watching something on TV not long ago about ethanol? Is that what it is? The new thing? No. What's the?
Yeah, I think you can get ethanol from corn and run your car.
Yeah, and all the politicians that are running are like, we got to make a move on this. We got to make a move on this. And it might have been that John Stossel guy, maybe even who did a thing on that. It said that. I wish I could remember. Otherwise, it's just I'm adult. Basically, it wasn't going to do anything because the production of the corn and the hauling of the corn to the grain elevator and from the grain elevator to here or whatever, however it works. It was just going to increase so that it was all going to level out. Basically, it wasn't going to make enough of a difference.
On the back end, though,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Ultimately,
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, ultimately, I guess, though, even though if we went to an ethanol-based fuel that does come from corn, it may not save us money. But again, it's another one of those that it's better for the environment because you can
except that the factories and whatnot where it is produced will set off enough emissions and whatnot that it really won't. It compensates for one thing by creates another problem.
Give me a horse.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Give me a horse and a stagecoach. All right. So let's move along. I want to talk about the season finale of Heroes.
Okay. But let me just say one thing first. Okay. Because I'm just like kind of my brain is fried. And I'm not going to go into this too much because I just don't know where I stand on it yet. And because my brain is fried. But the whole Rosie O'Donnell thing blew up today.
Oh, really?
Well, it blew up. It's been happening. It's been unfolding all week.
Because I've been saying I watched on Monday and she got kind of
yeah. And catty. She and Elizabeth had a huge blowout. I mean, the producers, the directors, they even did a split screen of this thing. And they were yelling at each other. And even Joy was saying, who's directing this show? We need to go to commercial. And they didn't. They just let it run and run. And you'll have to look at it online because it's very interesting. And then she wasn't there was that on Wednesday? That might have been on. I'm like I said, I'm brain dead. anyway, so she okay. So she wasn't there on Wednesday. What day? I'm so confused.
So what happened?
Okay, so she's got her blog. You know, she's got her website, and she writes these really cryptic messages and basically kind of saying that, you know, it's she's done or whatever, because she has 3 weeks left on her contract. And I'm so, my brain is fried because I have read like 1,000 posts on TMZ today. I don't know why I care, but I've just been reading it, you know, because basically now she's not coming back. She told them, I'm done. I'm not coming back.
Good.
Yeah. And that's how I feel too. And when my brain is back to normal, I'll discuss it. I'm not exactly sure because it still has to come out a couple more days. There's more has to come. It just happened today and I missed ET and extra and all that tonight because I was reading, you know, post number 872 through 900 and whatever. I'm just like, bleh, 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 because they all say the same thing. They either loved her or they hated her. So I don't know why I care. But I got hooked. I got hooked. And I just sat in front of that computer reading all that stuff all day. So
I guess
she said that she's not coming back. So maybe next week when I have more facts and you've watched it and we can discuss it a little more, because it is the big thing happening right now in celebritydom. So
stay tuned for our all Rosie episode. Rosie's crazy. Because that's my, you know, you say all you want. You know, you say all the facts and I'll just fall back. She crazy.
Yeah.
She crazy.
You know, and it really isn't fair. I don't think that most of the people that are making these comments are, and I just discovered TMZ like a month ago. Can you believe that?
I don't know what that is.
I don't, it's a gossip website.
Oh, okay.
What was I saying?
I don't know. That's what happens when the show is delayed.
My God.
We all go crazy.
Okay.
Should we take a moment to collect ourselves?
No, I'm good. Let's move along. But
let's talk about the Heroes season finale.
Let's do that.
What'd you think about it?
Well,
this will be filled with spoilers in case you haven't watched it yet.
Watched your TiVo yet or whatever. I have come to the point with all of these type of shows where I don't try to figure anything out anymore. I really don't. I don't try to figure out what's coming next or what they're implying or what that means. So I didn't have any expectations. So I thought it was great.
I enjoyed it. I had one expectation, though, that they did not follow through on. And for the last, I don't know, handful of episodes, you've gotten the feeling that they were leading up to a big showdown between Peter and Silent.
Right.
Because here's these two characters, both who are able to take this, absorb superpowers from all the other characters and just basically be these all powerful guys.
Right.
And you knew, you just knew it was going to happen. You were just waiting for it. And then wah, wah, wah. It was like, because I remember at one point we got up to do something during a commercial and you had said, is this going to be a 2-hour episode? And I said, no, but it's 30 minutes into it already and they haven't done anything. They have, you know, the last
like
half hour
minutes into it.
We were like, it's like the last half hour. I better be the fight. And there just wasn't. And it was a small little thing. But so, yeah, I was a little upset about that.
I've read a few things online, you know, a few questions, a few theories. And I guess the one question that keeps coming up with most people is, since, Peter has all, you know, he's already absorbed Nathan's ability to fly. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he just fly himself?
Yeah, that didn't make a lot of sense.
And the whole Siler's not really dead because you saw his blood stain. And I think those two things are somehow connected. I don't think because, they blew up there. I don't think that was him. I don't think that he's dead. I don't think either one of them are dead. I don't think any of them are dead.
I think if he did blow up, Nathan, his brother, is definitely dead. I don't think Peter is dead.
I hate doing this because I'm not supposed to. I thought I gave up on the whole trying to figure it out. But I really just don't think. No. Peter, if that was Peter, I mean, who knows with everybody being able to interchange?
I think they spent too long during first season.
Who's alive? Who was who?
Well, I think they spent too long during this season establishing the fact that Peter could absorb these other powers.
Right.
And they spent like 2 to 3 episodes of him learning with the dude that can turn invisible to try to control his powers.
Right.
And they spent too much time with the whole fact that he's not, the only reason he doesn't kick a lot of butt like he should is because he's not as self-confident in his self. He still has all this fear. So I think they've gone too deep into that to then just kill him off in the last episode. Yeah. I want to believe that there's still going to be that big showdown between the two of them. I just wish they would have done it in season one, but
who knows what they'll do?
I don't know.
Who knows? Every theory that we come up with doesn't matter because they're going to blow our minds when it starts up again. Anything we think of, we'll just be like, oh, I didn't think of that.
It ended with a hero back
in
like
was weird.
15th or 16th century cool. Japan. But I thought, I may be mistaken, but I thought I read somewhere that he wasn't coming back for season 2.
Oh,
but
snap.
Maybe I misread that somewhere because... Why end it with him like that if they're not going to bring him back?
And then let's talk about how everything... Well, you don't know because you haven't watched Grey's Anatomy yet, have you?
No.
Okay. But is George coming back? You know, is Burke coming back? That's weird because, you know, those are the two who in real life had the whole blow up go around.
Yeah.
And both of their characters are in a position where they could both be gone.
Just not come back.
Right. Yeah. So that's weird.
And I tell you, Grey's Anatomy, I think the weirdest thing about Grey's Anatomy is Patrick Dempsey. Because I grew up watching him.
Don't you see that? Sometimes when you listen to him, he still sounds like the kid on the lawnmower, right?
Yeah, Can't Buy Me Love. And what was the one where he was the gigolo? Yeah. I guess he was such a skinny little.
I know.
And now he's McDreamy.
Yeah, you know? Except every once in a while, you can still see it. You know, especially in interviews when he's not in character, you still hear a little bit of that in his voice and you see that in his face.
Well,
He's still in there.
I haven't seen the last 4 episodes, but if you're saying that George and Burke may be gone, I hope, because frankly, to me, the most interesting thing about that show is not what's her name, Gray and McDreamy, because they're getting old. I'm getting sick of their whole Ross and Rachel thing, you know. Yeah. They're together, they're not. They're together, they're not.
Yeah, well, that's up in the air, too.
Knock it off already. That's I don't care. The
and then this new character who introduced, she's one of the new interns. I think she introduced herself to George in the locker room as Lexi Gray.
Ooh.
I don't remember any talk of that.
A dude knew.
If there was, I missed it, so somebody fill me in. But, and then, of course, the Lost finale also.
I haven't been.
I'm not even trying with that one. Man, you know, that is so. It was like, cool. No, wait, huh? What? No. Oh, cool. Wait, huh?
See, no, I didn't.
Cool, huh?
I didn't watch that either because I'm very much, and all you comic book readers out there can understand this, because a lot of us comic fans have a very completist attitude where if we miss an issue or we miss an episode, we're not going to skip it and go and try to watch the rest.
You can watch it all online now. That's what I did.
I know, but...
But you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, I don't have time to do that.
You'd have to do it at night, and there's other stuff on. And
well, now that we're down off season, maybe.
Yeah, now you can catch up. That's what I did. Ever since we got the new internet provider, and I can watch stuff like that. It's so cool.
It's awesome.
That is awesome, actually.
You too.
I would have blown off Lost altogether if we hadn't had that, because they're just...
Well, and I missed... We had one episode because we weren't watching it on when it was on. I can't remember why.
We
were taping it each week because there was something else.
We started taping it each week.
But then there was one episode that night...
Well, you were going to bed. You were getting too tired to stay up.
Yes, they started playing it at 9 now. Yeah,
and I didn't want to watch it without you, so I would watch Medium.
So we would tape it. But then there was a night that we had a big storm.
Yeah.
And for the entire episode was just the weatherman talking about, tornado warnings and whatnot. And I'm sure they played it again over the weekend, but I missed it. And I said, all right, well, I'll just wait for the DVDs.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and there were several episodes, and any fan will tell you this season went downhill fast mid-season. It was just like, oh, if you guys don't pick it up and give us some answers, we're done. And people were dropping like flies. People were losing it. They didn't want us anymore.
And I think their new experiment that they tried this year, which was they were going to play like six new episodes in a row and then take like 13 weeks off and then play 13 new episodes. I think, I don't know.
I don't know. That's got to stop, but they're all doing it now. Yeah. They're all doing it and we let them do it. It's like my whole rant on the board about summer hiatus.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. We're taking it. So.
All right. Well, let's get moving.
Yeah.
Let's do some news.
Okie dokie.
News and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort.
London, Madrid, Bangkok, Moscow, Cincinnati. From the four corners of the world, from the news capitals at home and abroad, the day's headlines brought into focus, the issues and events that shape our time. WKRP, Information Beacon of the Ohio Valley, presents Les Nessman and the News.
Okay, there's not a lot of news this week. There typically isn't this time a year because of convention seasons. They tend to release all their news during conventions, and there's not any conventions going on right now. So the big publishers are holding all their news back for now. But I've got a couple of items here for you. IDW Publishing is proud to announce they will return creator Mike Baron's classic and quite mentally unstable character to comics in a two-pronged
attack. I like unstable better.
Unstable.
You go with that.
Okay.
Go with that.
Starting in November, IDW will release trade paperback collections of The Complete Badger. Hey, I'm not going to read through this whole thing, but the Badger's back, baby.
And that's a good thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I honestly don't remember reading any Badger books, but I know my brother owned a few of the Badger comics, and which means I probably have them up in the attic, so I'll have to look for them.
Yeah.
So I've seen them. Job. But I know that... Basically, anybody who's read Badger has really enjoyed it. So I'm going to have to go up there and look for him.
Awesome, baby.
So Badger's back. Robert Rodriguez will direct Barbarella for a 2008 Universal Pictures release, reports Variety.
Like a remake?
Yeah.
Oh, good golly. Like the first one wasn't bad enough.
Well, we'll have to see what he does with it.
Put her in some clothes, I hope.
That's pretty much all the news. That was it.
You're kidding.
No, it really wasn't. I did hear today, though, that...
more about Rose. No,
I did hear today, though, that Thomas Jane is leaving the sequel to The Punisher, which is kind of odd. He was really behind because they did The Punisher. I think you watched it with me with Thomas Jane, John Travolta in it as the bad guy. But it was a decent flick. But Thomas Jane is a big comic book fan, and apparently... He is so unhappy with the direction that the second movie is going. He quit. He thought the script was crap or something.
Wow.
So he cared about it that much that he just said, you know what? I don't want to be associated with this because you guys aren't doing it right.
Yeah.
And I'm stepping away. I do have, I found some DVD releases that I found enjoyable, so I thought I'd run those down for you.
Oh, please.
Red Dawn, the Collector's Edition, July 15th. Wolverine! I loved Red Dawn, because I saw it as a kid.
Oh, man.
And I remember...
everybody in it that was cool at the time, you know? There,
I was in grade school at the time, and I distinctly remember going to the store with my mother, and... I didn't want to go in, so she let me stay out in the station wagon, and I just had this big fantasy daydream that Soviet and Cuban troops would come parachuting down, and that would give me an excuse to slide over into the driver's side and crank the station wagon up and drive in through the store and rescue my mom.
That show just doesn't get old. I mean, that's one that I could watch over. I mean, I have. But I could watch it over and over and
over. Well, in this collector's edition, I didn't gather up any information as far as what's going to be on it, but I think it's two discs and there's going to be some documentaries and making of stuff. So
good.
That might be kind of
cool. Hopefully they'll talk to some of the people. I like it when they do that.
July 31st, we'll see the release of 300, which I'm looking forward to. I haven't seen that yet. And Pathfinder. Pathfinder was a comic book I also didn't read, but it's about a group of Vikings that
somebody who finds
visit,
their path.
No. Well, like a group of Vikings that visit America way, way back in days of yore. And leave this little boy behind who's raised by Native Americans, and then the Vikings come back to plunder and he kills them all. But so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. August 7th, The Tick versus season 2, the second season of the Tick animated series.
Oh, that was good.
And The Muppet Show, the complete second season.
We'll have to get that if we can afford it.
August 28th,
Swing It,
Heroes Season 1. And September 18th, Smallville, the complete sixth season.
Cool.
So
still we'll waiting. Need to watch that.
Oh, yeah, we haven't seen that.
Because we did a catch up through Netflix when we moved here, right?
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get it very well.
Yeah, because we just have the UHF.
Really bad reception, so we couldn't watch it. So yeah, we got all caught up and all excited, and then it ended, and it was like, okay, pop in the next one, honey. And you're was the last one. Well, when are we going to get another one? No, that was the last one of the season. When is
that ended
season
on
coming
a total
out?
Cliffhanger.
It's on right now, so that's a long wait.
Season 5 ended on a total cliffhanger.
And I can't even remember it, so we'll have to get all caught up again. Don't tell me. I got enough on my mind in regard to TV shows these days.
DVDs that were released this week. Letters from Iwo Jima.
Ooh, good.
Afro Samurai. Mm-hmm. Airwolf Season 3. Airwolf.
A TV show?
Yeah.
No.
From the 80s. No. Mm. Stringfellow Hawk.
What?
Airwolf was a...
Speak
it was,
English.
I am. Airwolf was a helicopter. Do you remember Blue Thunder?
Was that a TV show?
It was a movie, and then they made it into a really bad TV show.
No, no.
Anyway, Airwolf basically is just a really cool helicopter.
Okay. Kind of like Kit the car.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a computer that talked to.
Oh.
But I don't remember much about it. I just remember the helicopter was cool, and the guy that flew it was called Stringfellow Hawk.
Wow. I have no response to that.
And Scrubs Season 5.
Awesome. That's always good. That's always good for a law for two or three.
Okay, well, let's do my comic book.
Picks of the Week.
Awesome. I have three picks for you this week. Well, as this is always this is the part of the show where you fall asleep. No, but I mentioned last week, of course, since I get my comics bi-monthly shipping, I got the first 3 weeks of comics for May in one shipment. So
I'm actually yawning.
this week is a combination of picks from the first week of May, second and the second week of May, and then next week will be a combination of second and third week.
Okay.
But first up is 52, week 52. I have gone the entire 38 episodes of this podcast not choosing 52, any issues of 52 is my picks of the week. But I, not that I didn't enjoy them, but I felt that with issue 52, I had to mention it because it was one of my favorite books from this recent shipment. 52 was just an amazing feat in comics because they did exactly what they said they were going to do, which was we were going to produce a weekly comic book and we were going to get it out on time. And nobody thought they could do it. And they did it. Not one issue delayed. And this issue is written by Jeff Johns,
now
Grant
that's
Morrison.
That's how you run a business, that's right. Frankly.
Written by Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, Greg Rucka, and Mark Waid. Art breakdowns by Keith Giffen. Pencils in this issue were done by Mike McCone, Justiniano, Eddie Barrows, Chris Batista, Pat Alif, and Derek Robertson. Inks by Andy Lanning, Walden Wong, Rodney Ramos, Drew Gracie, and Derek Robertson. Colors by Alex Sinclair, David Barron, and Hi-Fi. Letters by Ken Lopez. That's an episode just reading the credits off of this book. Yeah. This is a double-sized issue, and yet they still gave it to us at regular cover price of $2.50.
That's cool.
Yeah. They didn't have to, because we all knew that if you bought the first 51 issues, you weren't going to not buy issue 52 just because it was a little extra. But they did a really, a lot of people were worried that with the whole of all the events that have been happening lately, how none of these big books like Civil War and Infinite Crisis have really ended. They've just led into other things. But this had a good, definite ending. This is spoilers for anybody who may not have read it yet, but they brought back the multiverse, which has some people angry, but I'm freaking loving it. I'm loving the multiverse.
Okay.
Let me try to explain very simply.
Okay.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
When DC started releasing books back in the 40s, they called this the Golden Age. They created certain characters like the Flash and Green Lantern, who are not the Flash and Green Lantern we know now. Superhero comics kind of fell out of popularity in the 50s, and people were buying more Westerns and romance comics at that point. But then around the 60s, superheroes started coming back in again, and what DC did was they said, well, we've got all these great superheroes that we had created back in the 40s. Let's start writing comics about these, but we're going to redesign them. You know, they redesigned Flash, they redesigned Green Lantern, but they had to come up with a way to, you know, how can we have this Green Lantern Hal Jordan, but we also have this Green Lantern from the 40s who is, I can't even think of his name now, Alan Scott. Well, that's when they created the idea of a multiverse, parallel Earths. Well, then in the 80s, they did this.
Oh.
They did this.
You were saying, okay.
Multi-universe.
Okay. That's all you need to say.
Well,
really?
But in the mid-80s, around 86, they did a series called Crisis on Infinite Earths that did away with the multiverse. They felt that DC's continuity was getting too convoluted, and the best way to...
I hate convoluted continuity.
Yeah, just get rid of all the multiple Earths and have one solid DC universe that, you know, all these superheroes, and they merged, you know, it's all on world. But this brings the multiverse back. Okay. And it was one of my favorite segments of the book when they were showing some of the various Earths, because now there are 52 universes, basically. And they had, like, one of the things I got a real kick out of was the Earth with all the Wildstorm characters, because Wildstorm was not a universe that originally inhabited. You know, it was a Image comic. It was a studio that was through Image Comics, and then DC bought them. But now you can easily tell stories with Superman and some of these Wildstorm characters. Plus, you've got all the Charlton characters that they've been killing off for the past 2 years. They're on their own Earth. But this was a really great issue, and I am very glad that I dedicated a year of my life buying all 52 of these issues, because they're awesome. And I've actually been playing with the idea of, because I think I'd much rather have the trade paperbacks, but I can't afford to go out and buy 4 trade paperbacks. So maybe I'll toy with the idea of selling these, all my 52 issues on eBay, and then using the money to buy the trades. Because it take up a lot less space on my bookshelf than on my lawn.
True enough.
All right, next up, from Marvel Comics, Avengers: The Initiative, Issue 2. This is written by Dan Slott. I can never find the credits to these books when I want them, because they never just sometimes they'll stick them on the front page. Sometimes they're on the back page. It's like a Monty Python episode. When are they going to play the opening theme? The beginning, the middle, or the end? Written by Dan Slott, artist Stefano Caselli. Daniel Rudoni is on colors. Joe Carmagna is the letterer. Molly Laser is assistant editor. Tom Brevoort, editor. Really good issue. I really enjoyed it. This you see the characters, these new heroes in action when Hydra decides to take out the president. And in the Marvel universe, the president is actually George W. Bush. There's actually a funny little scene in here where I got to find it, because I was quite surprised when they showed old GW in here. Yeah.
Does it look like him? They did a good job?
Yeah, I thought they did a pretty...
Are they making him look like a twit?
No, they actually... let me try to find it here real quick.
Take your time. People can... Yeah, oh, there it is.
Here it is.
Oh, that's cool.
They're trying to tell the president, you know, you need to get out of here because we've already got the first lady off the premises. You need to get out of here, Mr. President, blah, blah, blah. And he says, I'm not going anywhere. I made a promise to the American people.
Good.
That during this time of war, they'd be safe at home. So the last thing I'm going to do is cut and run from mine. I've decided that's final. Don't worry. I have faith in you all. Faith in the initiative. Would have been better if he would have ended it with strategery.
Give me five.
One of my favorite Saturday Night Live moments with Will. Yeah, but basically you've got this big ship full of Hydra agents that have come to assassinate the president. And this shows the advantage of this 50-state initiative that Tony Stark has created with a team of superheroes in each state. Basically, with the push of a button, you've got a giant mass of superheroes like an army that just they're there and they're ready to fight and they're ready to defend their country and defend their president, and really, really good stuff. And of course, it ends in a cliffhanger, just like last issue, which I'm still trying to figure out. Because one of the characters is a guy who his superpower is sensing what you fear the most, and he transforms into it.
Yeah, and that's like that scene in Harry Potter.
Yeah, he's called. That may have been where they got the idea.
Maybe,
but he goes by the name of Trauma, and he can't control his power. Mm. And if he's around somebody and they've got a fear of, let's say, spiders, he just turns into a giant spider. He can't help it. He can't control it. So they bring in a specialist to help train him, and you don't see who it is. Mm-hmm. And that's this cliffhanger. It's like, it better be somebody good. I better get issue 3 and open it up, and it's like George Pappard from the A-Team. I want to see somebody good training him.
Yeah.
All right. Last up, also from Marvel Comics, Marvel Zombies Dead Days. This is a one-shot written by Robert Kirkman with art by Sean Phillips. June Chung is the art, color art. Russ Wooten on letters. This is a prequel to the Marvel Zombies mini that came out a year or two ago. And I read the trade to Marvel Zombies and really loved it. And I think one of the most enjoyable things about these books is the covers that, I think this is Arthur Suidam. He takes established classic, I'm doing this in air quotes, classic covers, and recreates them as zombie heroes. And this is a fold out cover of X-Men #1 that, Jim Lee did back in the '90s. And I honestly didn't catch it at first when I just looked at the regular cover. I was like, that's kind of gross. But then I folded it out. I was like, ha, 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 that's Jim Lee, baby. Yeah. But this tells the tale. This shows how, cause the Marvel Zombies mini, when it starts out, all the heroes are pretty much all of them are already zombies. And this kind of tells the story of how they became these zombies. And one of the interesting things I liked about the Marvel Zombies is that even though they're these undead creatures that have to eat, they're not your typical like Walking Dead zombies. They're not just walking around going brains. They can still think, they can still function, but they have this uncontrollable urge to eat human flesh.
Yeah.
And so
that's all destructive.
You know, it's very tongue in cheek. You know, it's not meant to be a serious book, but I was a little creeped out here in the beginning when Spider-Man eats his Aunt May, you know.
Aww.
I mean, first he eats Mary Jane. And then it's insinuated that he eats. You don't actually see him actually feed off of Aunt May, but it's insinuated that he does. But you've got this internal struggle with these characters who realize that what they're doing is wrong. They're eating people, but they can't help it. Yeah, but they just simply can't help it. And then there's this Nick Fury gets all the remaining heroes on Earth who are not zombies and gets them together to, you know, basically they get them all on the SHIELD helicarrier and try to keep them together and send out these rescue missions to try to save as many people as they possibly can and get them up on the helicarrier to try to, you know, save humanity. And even though if you've read the Marvel Zombies, you know that in the end they lose, you still root for them. You know, you're still rooting for them, but you know, of course they all turn into zombies. It's really funny. It's just, it's a funny book. It's not something Simon can read.
Well,
it's very bloody. It's very gory.
Cause he would just look at the pictures and wonder what.
Yeah. So Marvel Zombies, Dead Days, one shot, get it or I will eat your brains. All right. Well then let's lead from that into Steven's out of the box comic review.
What is your favorite thing in the world besides your wife and baby?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No, wait. Tell me about comics.
It's over prime.
I used to play foosball for comics. You gave me a Wolverine hologram card.
Comics!
One shall stand, one shall fall.
What?
How's it going?
You gonna wash your hands?
No, because I'm evil.
Comics!
All right, this week, I actually went up to the attic on Tuesday, as I thought we were recording on Tuesday. I reached into the old box, and what I pulled out was Captain America number 3. This has got a cover date of January 97, and this is not your typical Captain America. This is during the Heroes Reborn phase when Marvel basically, they felt they needed to kickstart some of their core titles, the Avengers, Captain America, Fantastic Four, and the Hulk, I think were the four issues. So they handed these titles over to Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld from Image Comics. It was a huge deal because these guys had broken away from Image to go and do their own thing. And then they come back to do these books and it flopped. Mm-hmm. It flopped like a wet fish.
Oh, gosh.
And I was working at a comic book store at the time these came out. And I remember seeing, you know, I didn't have the internet at the time. The internet wasn't huge then, but I would see through Wizard Magazine and previews, you know, what they were going to do with these books. And I was really excited about the Jim Lee stuff because Jim Lee was going to be doing Fantastic Four. And though I was a bigger fan of Captain America than I was of Fantastic Four, I had gotten to that point, and I think a lot of people had at that time, that had just gotten sick and tired of Rob Liefeld. Because as I mentioned last week, he produced a new book like every other day. He had a new book coming out. And you were just saturated by Rob Liefeld and his art style because he also had a lot of artists that work with him that were mimicking his style. So I was not going to pick up this book when it first came out. And then I went to the Chicago Comic Con before Wizard World took it over. And Rob Liefeld was there. And he did a panel. And he showed images from the book, which still, the images themselves didn't do it for me. But his passion for what he was going to do just sucked me in. And boy, was I wrong. Anyway, this is issue number 3. And we start off with Captain America in 1945. And he's standing in the office of the president, Harry S. Truman. And Harry,
they had spandex in 45, did they?
Yeah, well, technically it's chain mail, or at least his shirt is. Yeah.
Whatever.
So
I'll buy it.
So he's standing there in the president's office, and the president is basically telling him what a great job he's done for the war and the movement and, you know, for America. And he's stood up for America. And this is after we've won the war in Europe. You know, Hitler has committed suicide. The Germany is surrendered. And Truman is telling Captain America that, you know, basically it's 13 hours ago, an American airplane dropped one atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And Captain America is just, he's freaked out. You know, he cannot believe that his country has dropped an atomic bomb on, you know, this populace of people and killed, you know, even though we're at war with Japan, there are a lot of innocent people that died by that bomb. And
spoils of war, man.
Yeah. So he's very upset about this. Let me actually real quick, let me just run through the credits here. Rob Liefeld on plot, pencils and edits. Jeff Loeb was the writer. John Sybil and Larry Strucker on inks. Richard Starkings and Comic Craft on letters. Andy Troy on colors. Extreme Color did separations. And Bob Harris was the commander in chief. But so anyway, Captain O'Cap's not very happy about this, and he strikes a pose, which is what I love about Rob Liefeld. But basically, Harry Truman wants Captain America to stand next to him while he goes on the radio.
Oh.
And announces to the American people that the war is now over because they've dropped these bombs on Japan. And he goes, I want you to stand by my side when I tell the Congress and the American people on radio that you support this decision. Cap, respectfully, he declines. And he strikes a pose. And basically, he gives him this big speech. And at one point, he storms out of the Oval Office. I mean, it's like he's sprinting out. And he makes this, he says this, then it's time you all learned, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Slams the door. And he tells them, and Harry Truman brings in a young Nicholas Fury to take care of the problem. And then you flash forward to the president, or the president. I've got that on my mind now. The present. I don't remember what happened in issue one or two. I need to go back and read them now, because it's got me a little interested. But here's Cap sitting on his couch, and he's got this, of course, skin tight, torn up t-shirt, blue jeans, and he's holding He's got a shield on his arm. Like he's ready for action at any moment. And from what I gather, just from this scene, apparently his life up to this point has been a lie. In the regular Marvel universe, he had fallen into the ocean and was frozen at the end of World War II and then thawed out in the 60s. And that's why a Captain America who is fighting in World War II is still young and thriving in today's age. Here, apparently the super soldier serum that they have given him, allows him, you know, he doesn't age as fast, but apparently he thought he was living this regular life with a wife and kid, and you find out that they're robots.
Yeah.
And he's very angry about it, and he's very upset because his life has all been a lie. And Nick Fury is telling him, you know, they had no choice. And Cap saying, I have little faith in the American, you guys screwed me over, basically. And Nick Fury is saying, well, you got a choice. You can go back to sleep, or you can come to work for Uncle Sam. And Captain America goes, all right. You know, it's just, okay, all right, whatever. And so they bring him up to the shield helicarrier. They give him a new costume, and he strikes another pose. And then they flash over to the Red Skull and his bad guys. And they're talking about Captain America's back, and they're really upset about it because they're the Aryan Brotherhood and they want to take over the world. And so the Red Skull has some new lackey in named Crossbones. It's going to take him out. And then Cap goes to Arlington to the cemetery, and the guy who ends up being the Falcon is there, and he doesn't like Captain America for some, because his dad died in the war and Cap could have saved him. I don't know. He blames Cap for his dad dying. And then Crossbones comes out of nowhere and tackles him from the back. And then between panels, this is another thing I love about Rob Liefeld. Out of nowhere comes Crossbones and tackles him from the back. And you get this sound effect that goes boorp and smash. And then very next panel, Crossbones is tackling him again, but from the front. So off panel, apparently he probably lands and does a flip and a roll and then tackles him again from the front. And then he starts hitting him, biff, bam. And then he's standing over him, and to be continued.
You actually had me interested in that.
Oh boy. I don't know about that one. I think for sheer comedic value, I had to give it at least a 7.
But it wasn't supposed to be.
No, it wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be deadly serious.
Yeah. Well, maybe in 97. Nope. Never mind. Because you're saying it just flopped even then.
Yeah. I'll give it a four. Maybe a
from
five.
A seven to a four is a big.
Well, for sheer comedic value.
Oh, okay.
But all in all, maybe I'll give it a five.
Maybe a five.
Yeah, maybe a five. And it's really because Jeff Loeb wrote it. And I like Jeff Loeb. I think he's a great writer. But I think, you know, two keys to writing a comic book, because it's not just the writing that tells the story. The art tells the story too. You have to be a good sequential artist. Part of the story is told in the art. And I like Rob Liefeld as a guy. I think he's a nice guy. He just didn't do anything for me.
The kids are playing Captain America today.
Were they?
With the lids to the,
I like
the
it
big the pots and pans. Yeah, except we only have one that's metal. And the other big one is glass.
Yeah, not good.
So Simon was running around with the one, and then Rana went on to join in. So she just went and grabbed it, and I didn't realize it right away because I was too busy reading everything on TMZ. And I'm like, oh, no. I could just see that getting broken. And of course, then she was mad. So I had to find a spoon to give to her. So that would be her mace, and she would be Hawk Girl, and things worked out okay. And have you noticed Palin lately with the whole... But the video boxes on her legs, like the
leg warmers, yeah.
Not the plastic ones, but the cardboard video boxes. Yeah.
Wearing them like leg warmers.
Rana did that.
She's like a little robot.
Yeah, and they just come up, to her knee. So when Rana does it, Rana puts them on her arms now. I don't know what the deal is with the girls, and maybe I don't know what it is.
And that's the thing. I tell people that I don't have cable, and they're just like, what? It's like, look, I got three kids. That's enough entertainment. Watching some of the crazy things that they do, the crazy stuff that they come up with, and some of the things they say. Rana has been telling me about her dreams lately, your little three-year-old dreams, and she told me just
it all up.
Yeah, she told me just the other day I came home, and she ran up and gave me a hug, and she goes, oh, Daddy, I have a dream. And I said, oh, what'd you have a dream about? I dream about monkeys. I said, oh, yeah? What were they doing? They were jumping. And I said, well, that sounds like a fun dream. I said, was there anything else in your dream? She goes, turtles. I said, were the turtles jumping? And she goes, no. Like, you're such an idiot, Dad. And she goes, no, they crawl.
Yeah.
So she apparently every night now, she has dreams about monkeys, turtles, bunnies, ducks.
And butterflies.
And butterflies. And today, even though she didn't take
a nap today.
She had a dream about pigs. So
I missed that earlier. That's funny. But I don't know what it is. Palin puts these, boxes on her legs, like leg warmers, and they come up just to her knees. So she walks around kind of like a robot because she can't completely bend. And she just looks like she's the happiest thing in the world. But it's just weird. Yeah. Good thing I'm not uptight about the boxes getting torn up.
Yeah. And the first couple
when Rana first started doing that, we were like, no.
Especially with the DVDs. Cause I went out like 3 years or so ago for Valentine's Day, and I bought Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
And
those on.
Well, no, but you know, the way Simon is.
Oh,
he would pick one up, and I'd be no. And then
touch it.
But then after they rip apart one box, it's like,
whatever. Go ahead. Whatever. They're just kids.
Exactly.
And it's just stuff.
That's right. All right.
Kids are funny.
Well, let's do listeners' feedback. All right. This week we have four items for you, two emails and two voicemails.
Oh, I haven't heard them.
Nice. The first email comes from... The Nuge. Drew Nugent. He says, hey, Steven, it's Drew the Nuge. First of all, let me stop. Oh, Drew?
Drew.
You're spelling my name wrong, buddy.
Oh, let me see. What do you do?
Common mistake.
Very common mistake. Don't pick on him.
S-T-E-E-V-E-N. I actually had to spell that for somebody at work today because I called somebody about a garage door. I work with garage doors. And, They had to call me back, and they said, well, let me make a note. What's your name? And I give my name. And they said, is that S-T-E-P-H-E-N? I said, no, it's S-T-E-E-V-E-N. They said, oh, spelling it kind of different on me. And I said, yeah, you can blame my parents.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, Steven, it's Drew the Nuge. I heard the podcast and you said I could send a chapter of my superhero story, so here it is.
Awesome.
Hope you read it on the air.
Good for you, Drew.
Yeah, and I'll send you a new chapter every week, and maybe you could read those too, and I will.
Yeah.
The Just Another Fanboy podcast will return after these messages. And now back to Just Another Fanboy.
So here it is. It's called Saving Jed, Chapter 1.
Oh, let me get comfortable.
And really, like you said last week, these aren't very long. So, Saving Jed, Chapter 1. Jed Fox was a normal guy with normal cares and normal worries. But there was one thing different about him. He lived in a family of superheroes. His father, mother, and sister used to be a crime-fighting team. His mother could fly, his father could make force fields, and his sister could shoot beams out of her hands. The only reason Jed wasn't part of this team was because Jed had a substance called Concord in his body, which killed his super gene. One ordinary day, something happened to Jed. He was kidnapped. Jody Fox, Jed's sister, heard about this exactly 3 hours after the kidnapping and was enraged. She vowed to find her brother and went searching for him. She searched through every state, every building, and many corners of the world. But did she find him? Well, that would be giving too much away. You'll have to find out yourself in the story of Saving Jed.
All right.
An up-and-comer there, people. Keep your eyes open.
Drew the Nuge, our 13-year-old writer. Yeah, Drew, send him in. I will read a chapter every week. So keep them coming.
I love that. That'd be a great segment. Keep them coming, little right. buddy.
Well, let's play the first voicemail, which comes from Drew the Nuge.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Steven. It's Drew the Nuge. Yes, I'm happy about being called that. And I do live with the Nuge News. And I'm not related to him, sorry. But, you know. And I just want to say I loved the episode, the last episode. Thanks for mentioning me. The little personality quirks thing, I just want to tell you, I catch myself talking to myself sometimes. I don't think I'm insane or anything. I don't do it on purpose. So just so you know that. What else? I love the Steven's Out of the Box review thing. That was great. Everything was awesome. And I just want to say something. When y'all played my voicemail, my voice didn't sound like me. Do you ever catch yourself doing that when you listen to yourself, just singing your voice doesn't sound like yourself? You know what I mean? Well, anyway, hopefully my voicemail and bye.
Drew the Nuge.
He's a funny guy.
I like him.
I do too.
He's like a good kid. And
he doesn't think he's insane or anything.
No. And, you know, hey, I talk to myself sometimes.
I do too. And it's all in my head. I don't talk out loud, but I'll be thinking things and I'll feel my lips moving. So I think. I wonder if you ever catch me doing that and wonder, I think she's crazy. Like you're sitting in one room and I'm in another room and my lips are moving, but I'm not saying anything.
Sometimes I'll be in the car listening to the radio or listening to songs and I'll start singing along and then the song will end and I'll catch myself still singing the song and I'm making up weird words and I'll start. Yeah, I'm not insane.
I probably am a little bit. I've been off my Lexapro for about 5 days. Okay.
All right. Well, let's read the next. Let's read the next email. This comes from Drew the Nuge.
Okay.
It's another
number one fan.
It's another all Nuge. Well, it's not an all Nuge feedback because we do have a voicemail from somebody else.
Oh, great.
But in his second email, Drew says, "Hey, it's Drew the Nuge. Just wanted to tell you some real comments. First of all, on my other email, I said creepy, not the other word about Daredevil and the others. And I do think that Daredevil was a creepy and dark. I also have a question. Did you see Spider-Man 3 and what did you think about it? No, I haven't seen it yet. I personally thought it was good, but could have been better. Here's how I rank them. He ranks number 1, Spider-Man 2, number 2, Spider-Man 3, and number 3, Spider-Man. And also, is Norman, Oklahoma and Gary, Indiana real people? Because they kind of sound like you and both of their last names are states. Well, anyway, have a good day and bye."
Well, not only are their last names states, but their first names are cities in those states. There is a Norman, Oklahoma in Oklahoma, and there is a Gary Indiana, and there is an Enid, Oklahoma. I actually have a friend. Well, a long time ago, I had a friend from Enid, Oklahoma. So they are real cities and real states. And I think they're real people.
Well,
in your mind, they've been around a long time.
In my head.
I've been living with Norman for a long time.
And
I miss them.
I know. I'm trying.
You just got to make the time.
Well, and it's not even the time. It's I haven't thought of anything good for Norman and Gary to do, and I don't want to force them into the show and not have it be funny. You know what I'm
saying?
It's
always funny.
I guess.
They're always funny. They're good guys.
But I'm, you know, I always said I wasn't ever going to actually.
He didn't say anything about me in that email.
Well.
In the first one, he really thought I was a great co-host. Mm-hmm. Now he's just buttering you up. Hey, Drew, I'm here too, you know.
And I always said I didn't want to let the, you know, admit that they were characters and not real people. But I don't think I'm fooling anybody.
Yeah, but you sure put a lot of effort into those guys.
Yeah, I miss
the editing you have to do to give them the slight different tone of voice. It was a show, like what's his name said. So I have to that once in a while.
All right, Nuge, thank you for your emails and your voicemail. Keep them coming.
Yeah, and your chapters as well.
Yeah, because we will read those.
We will.
All right, well, let's play the last voicemail.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Steven, it's Kevin from Iowa, back after a long break. Kids, sports have really kicked in. With three kids, you end up at soccer and baseball most of the time. So I can't find that PS238 trade paperback that I had, so I ordered another one. So hopefully I'll get that soon and pass it on to you. I'll also get some Sabrina off to Mrs. Fanboy there, Karen. So hopefully maybe we can get together some time and do one of your shows. Hopefully you had a great week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Kevin.
Okay, so what, he's really going to send us stuff?
I guess.
Oh, right.
He
our first real stuff for free stuff.
Yeah.
He's really going to send me the Sabrina.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's technically not our first.
Oh.
Because
it'd be my first.
Yeah. But
Kevin's my first.
the dude that made the Junie Tough comic book sent me the first issue of that. And I actually got an email and God,
are you giving people then our home address?
No, the P.O. box.
Okay, well, still.
Yeah, but
that's okay. You're all good people.
And I can't remember the guy's name, and it makes me feel bad. But there's a book from Ape Entertainment called White Picket Fences, and the guy who did that emailed me, which I'm sure he emailed probably all the podcasters and offered to send me an issue of the first issue, and he included a link to the book online just so I could look at it at PDF. And I went through the first few pages and I cannot stand reading comic books on the computer. I hate it. I really hope that because comics are going to go digital. It's just the way it is. They're eventually going to be where you download comics onto an iPod, you know, but I really
know about that completely.
I really hope that when they do that, they still stay with the paper format because I cannot stand reading them digitally, but that's just me. But I read through the first few pages and apparently it's about a kid who finds some alien device. And I don't know, it looked really interesting. So I'm really excited about getting that first issue.
That's neat.
So and we'll definitely talk about it on the show. But Kevin, thank you for your voicemail. I think that's awesome that you're going to send that stuff. And he mentions, the three kids and the sports. Yeah. And I hope
that's going to be us someday. I hope our kids hate extracurricular activities because we're really lazy kind of people. I can't imagine going to. I did it with
soccer and softball, and the girls are going to want to go to dance classes.
I've already decided everybody can pick one thing to be involved in per year, only one. And that may make us look like really cruddy parents, but I think I've learned from watching and listening to enough other people and families, the whole overload thing. And financially, I mean, we can't afford uniforms for everything. There's no way they can pick one activity per year that they like to be involved in.
Sounds
that's
good to
my
me.
Rule.
Sounds good
yeah.
to me.
And when he asked you the Nuge if you'd seen Spider-Man 3 yet, mm-hmm. made me remember. I just saw Shrek the Third.
Yeah.
That's the movie I went to see with my sisters and my mother. And it was good. I liked it. There's a great scene of a high school. What era would that be in? What do you call that?
Medieval times?
Okay. Yeah. Medieval high school. It's hilarious the way they all talk, because they talk like Valley Girls, but with all the thines and thous and... Does that like me the way I like to see you? And then have these cheerleaders doing cheers with all the vowels and
that's funny.
But the one part that made me go, oh, come on, is that they had these It's a box wagon that mm-hmm. was made to look like a van, and two boys come out of it, and so does all this smoke. Except, no.
Yeah, but Shrek is like a PG movies.
I know, but that made me think that's the one thing. And the farting but, and the whirlpool making bubble things is one thing. But
they also had in Shrek 2, one of my favorite scenes
when
they did the play on cops, but it was called Knights, when Shrek in a human form and and Puss in Boots and Donkey try to break in, and the knights are, you know, arresting them, and they throw Puss in Boots up against the wall and frisking the cat, and they pull a little bag in, it's got catnip, and he's like, "Oh,
catnip.
That's not mine."
Yeah. that just made me go, "Oh, man."
Yeah,
you know, because that's our kids won't get it.
No.
But 8, 9, 10-year-old kids will. If they don't get it, they'll ask, why is that funny?
Well, they're just smoking because they're bad kids. That'll open up a dialogue.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's all that, yeah, yeah.
But that obviously sounds like a play on Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, it was very funny. It was a very good scene with all these girls, and they're just talking like...
If I had my shoe...
I wish I could do it.
If I had my shoe, I'd do that. I'd bang it on my head. That's my head!
Yeah, that's good stuff.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you for the voicemail. And thank you in advance for sending us some stuff.
Heck yeah.
Because I'm looking forward to this. Now I can have PS238, I think is what he called it. Yeah. And I'll read the Sabrina. I'll read it.
I'll read it first. Thank you.
You will read it
and
first.
And I still need to get into Bone.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that you bought that whole big thing. And I just need to... You know how much time I could have spent reading something intellectual today instead of reading all that junk? I don't know why I did that. I just got caught up in it. And now I'm brain dead and ashamed. Shame.
Can't even look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah. Oh, right. What was that? Yeah. Oh, who did that?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't
know.
You
did just now.
Yeah, I know.
You are out of it.
I am a little bit.
All right.
Okay.
Well. That's all I have.
Is that the show?
Though, actually, I did want to mention, just before we started to record, I had jumped over to Newsarama to see if there was any new news to put up, you know, to talk about. And they put up the new installment for Joe Fridays, which they do every week, which is a Joe Quesada, the editor-in-chief at Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
He comes on to Newsarama each week and answers questions. And at the opening of it, there was a video that you could play that he called Marvel TV. And I haven't read through Joe Fridays, but it sounds like it might be a weekly or something, little video segment you can watch at marvel.com. And it was funny. I mean, you had, Brian Michael Bendis cutting his hair at the beginning of it, and he gives him a little tip, and it had, J. Michael Straczynski was in there. He was funny. Dan Slott was in there changing like the, toner and one of their printers. Ed Brubaker, probably one of my favorite writers out there, standing off to the side. He had to go potty. Jeff Loeb had brought him a coffee or something. It was funny. Really funny stuff. I always enjoy it. And I'm sure most of these guys, you know, Jeff Loeb and all these guys probably don't consider themselves celebrities. But in the comic book world, they are. They're celebrities. And there's nothing I like more than when a celebrity can make fun of themselves.
Yes.
You know, that is good stuff. I cannot stand a celebrity who thinks they're above making fun of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I always enjoy it when they do that. So that was really funny.
I don't even know who they are, but I could get that it was funny and it was entertaining.
All right.
All right. That's the show, I think.
Okay.
I don't have anything else. I'll have more next week. There was other, you know, celebrity stuff that I wanted to mention, but I got all... Yeah, it's all overshadowed, and we'll see how things unfold in the next few days. Basically, Rosie has locked down her blog as far as the question and answer section.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but the thing was I got on at one point today, and it said updated 2 hours ago. I was like, oh, cool, because, you know, this was before the announcement came out that she'd quit. But when, of course, we still want to see what's going on, because she wasn't there the next day and the next day. But I clicked on it to read the new, and it was still yesterday stuff. So then in some of the reading that I was doing online, I got that she had posted some things, some answers to questions, and then took them down.
Oh, good Lord.
So she did update it, you know, 2 hours previously, but then
she took it back.
Yeah, but it still said that it had been updated.
She said, oh, never
very
mind.
Frustrating. I don't know what all happened. But I will say this. that I think she probably would have made the decision to come back and finish up her contract after a long weekend of, you know, drinking her Sam Adams and working in her art room and all that stuff. But it said that her head writer, and I think it's actually her personal producer, Jeanette, got busted for drawing mustaches on Elizabeth Hasselbeck's pictures in the studio, and she was escorted out. So I'm thinking, I mean, this is the producer that's been with her since her own personal Rosie O'Donnell show. Mm-hmm. I think they probably said, you're no longer welcome in the building kind of thing, or until we get legal and human resources involved in this, don't come back. And Rosie probably said, without my personal producer, I'm not coming back. So, well, I mean, that makes more sense than that she's just cowering out, you know, really.
Well, let me just say this.
So, but Mike,
before we close, because I'm off every Monday for my schedule.
Yeah.
So I do watch The View on Mondays only because it's on, because you watch it. And, you know, I don't watch the whole thing. Sometimes I'm reading comics or whatever on the couch and I watch when it's on. And I used to really like Rosie O'Donnell. You know, when she first came out as a stand-up comedian, I thought she was funny. You know, I liked her in a League of Their Own, I don't like her on The View because The View used to be about a group of women with, you know, from varying ages and varying opinions and various backgrounds.
Family lives, all different.
And it's almost turned into the
professions.
Well, yeah, it's almost turned into like the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Yeah, I have my whole theory on it, which I'll share next week, I suppose, you know, which is that this. Well, no, I won't even get started because, but yeah, I'll share my theory on what this year was all about. But basically, The View has been a classy daytime television show for 9 years before she was on it, and they'll still be that way.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we'll see.
All right. Well,
this stuff is really getting crazy out there.
Well, let's close up the show. I'm pretty sure there was something else.
I got to get back on TMZ. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there was something else I wanted to talk about. And, no, I don't remember what it was.
Me too. Who knows? It's been a crazy week.
Let's close around. Email me.
Oh, I wanted to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
To my sister who lives in Costa Rica.
Speak it.
We have a local, Kathy Hamilton, who used to do local news and she was the inventor of that whole boyfriend in a box phenomenon. In the 90s, where she's a, what you call a boomer girl. She's a baby boomer, and she was a single middle-aged woman who, you know, her friends were always trying to fix up on dates, and her parents were always saying, when are you going to get married and give us grandkids? So she invented this boyfriend in a box, and you had your choice of like four different ones, like an executive or a jock or, you know, all these four different. And it came with like a photograph that you could frame of the guy and like a love letter or something. Just it was in jest, of course, but
because it sounds very sad.
Yeah, but it was funny. Anyway, she has created this website called BoomerGirl.com. And it is, consists of a lot of different things, but it includes blogs from women of the, who would be boomer girls of, the
baby boom
generation. And my sister, who lives in Costa Rica, started reading it because it's, there was an article published in our local paper about it. And she reads our local paper online every day down there. And so she just submitted something to the website saying that she was very interested in it and she enjoyed it. And, you know, she was a boomer girl and here's what she was doing now. And Kathy Hamilton liked it and said, you know, we don't have a lot of people living in Costa Rica so or outside of the state or whatever. So my sister is now a contributor to boomergirl.com. I'm not sure what her the title of her blog is, but she writes about life in Costa Rica.
It's probably called Living with Snakes.
Yeah, and bats and scorpions.
Stepping on
and
toads.
Yeah, and monkeys flying overhead because she lives in the heart of it. She's not in San Jose or anything. She's off in the jungle.
She's in the jungle.
She is. And so check that out. Check out boomergirl.com. There's neat stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, thanks for letting me plug that.
Cool. So, if you want your thoughts expressed on the show, email me, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. Send me a voicemail, 1-877-309-8367, extension 212. Be as cool as the Nuge and Kevin, and send in your voicemail. I miss some of our regulars. We haven't gotten a voicemail from Heather lately. I don't even know if she listens anymore. She's gone. She's too cool for us.
Yeah, we miss her mom too.
Yeah. Come join us at the board.
The board.
CGSpodcast.com/forum2, or you could just go to justanotherfanboy.com and click on the link that says My Message Board. We are a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network at comicspodcasts.com. Go over there and check out all the other great comic book podcasts that are out there, because there are a lot of great ones. Please submit an iTunes review over at iTunes. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to use your credit card to become a member of iTunes. You can go in anonymously.
Anonymously?
Aluminium. Aluminium.
Oh, you've gone British on me.
You've gone British. Aluminium.
Are you going to say schedule?
I would like you to. I would like you to schedule a time to go and post the review. We're just.
You're tripping. Yeah, I'm just playing along.
So go to iTunes, leave us a review. We've been stuck on 12 for months. And I was just hearing
somebody bump it up.
Well, I was just hearing, I think it was Around Comics the last few weeks, have been talking about their road to 100, which is getting, they were getting close to 100 reviews on there, and they finally reached 100. I don't have, you know, an eighth of the listeners that they do, but I have over 100. So if each one of you go on there and leave a review, we can kick their butts.
Yeah.
Let's do it, people. Band together this week. Get on there.
That's cool. I'll do one.
Positive review. So let's
do it. We'll get Abby to do one.
Yeah. So there's two.
All right.
We only need.
I just don't know how. You have to show me how.
84 or so more to go.
That's pretty. We can do that. That's
iTunes
easy.
Reviews.
Don't forget to submit your quirks.
Your quirks. Tell us what makes you you.
Yeah.
Open up. Let us walk through the shadows of your mind.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a beautiful thing.
So until next week, and you know, I do want to say real quick that I just want to apologize for the delays that we've had lately.
Yeah. My foot still hurts, by the way, from last week. That caused last week's delays, the injury to my ankle. It's not getting any worse. It's not getting a lot better. So it'll just take a while.
The plan has always been to have the episodes out on Fridays, but for a while there, because I don't actually, honestly, I don't put them up there myself. The people from Lynx Broadcasting do. We record the episodes, we send them to Lynx, they then put them out on the web, and I was doing, you know, I'd record on Tuesday, send it to them, and they'd have it up by Wednesdays, and they weren't, you know, supposed to be scheduled for Fridays, but for months it was up on Wednesdays. Yeah. But the last few weeks it's been late.
Yeah.
So, and I want to apologize, because really that's something that can really turn people off on a podcast.
It's because it's very unprofessional.
Yeah.
But you're not getting paid. So
exactly. Why are you complaining about free stuff? I like free junk, man.
Ooh.
All right.
And life happens. Life happens when we get caught up in it. So
yeah, I got three kids, man. Okay.
I've got four.
Get off my back.
Five with you and the cat.
Don't you judge me. Are you calling me a kid?
No.
I think I'm going to weep softly to myself in bed tonight.
Everybody have a good day.
So
wrap it up.
Until next week, I'm Steven.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm just another fanboy.
Woohoo!
And I love this girl next to me.
And you have really gorgeous eyes. We don't get to sit this close very often.
No.
All right, let's go.
See you next week.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.